Good morning, and our lesson for this morning is the obedience of Joseph, and our text is Genesis chapter 41, verses 46 through 49 and 53 through 57, which read as follows. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Now in the seven plentiful years, the ground brought forth abundantly. So he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities. He laid up in every city the food of the fields which surrounded them. Joseph gathered very much grain as the sand of the sea until he stopped counting, for it was immeasurable. Then the 7 years of plenty which were in the land of Egypt ended, and the 7 years of famine began to come, as Joseph had said. The famine was in all lands, but in the land of Egypt there was bread. So when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried out to Pharaoh for bread. Then Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, "Go to Joseph. Whatever he says to you, do." The famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians. And the famine became severe in the land of Egypt. So all countries came to Joseph in Egypt to buy grain, because the famine was severe in all lands. God bless the reading of his word. Let us bow our heads in a word of prayer. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you afresh for the total sufficiency of Jesus Christ, for the perfect teaching ministry of your blessed Holy Spirit, and for his ability to explain your word. So give us the words to say, and let us say them with liberty, with clarity, and with boldness, and that somebody listening might believe the report. Thanking you in advance for all that you are going to do in the strong and perfect name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Well, thank you all very much for coming to hear the message for today. And before we begin our next lesson in the walk through the Bible, let us reiterate our reason for attending church. We attend church to obtain the mind of Christ, meaning to have the Bible illuminated in our minds so that we can clearly understand the principles that Jesus taught and base our daily personal decisions on those principles. We come to church because we want to be obedient to the Bible, which is the doctrine of Jesus Christ, in an informed, insightful, and intelligent manner. Now, as we've not discussed this subject for the last 2 weeks, let me give us a brief recap of that which we have covered to this point concerning the life of Joseph, the last patriarch whose life is recorded in the book of Genesis. Now, Joseph was Jacob's 11th son and his favorite son, because Joseph was Jacob's son by Rachel, the one of Jacob's four wives to whom he actually felt an emotional attachment. Because Jacob favored Joseph, Joseph's 10 older brothers were jealous of Joseph and hated him. Their hatred manifested itself in brutality. When Jacob sent Joseph to check on his brothers as they were shepherding sheep in Shechem, the brothers seized Joseph, sold him to a group of slave traders bound for Egypt, then covered his distinctly colored robe with animal blood and presented it to Jacob as proof that Joseph had been killed by a wild animal. Now, as Jacob was grieving for his favorite son, Joseph was being sold as a slave to Potiphar, the captain of the Egyptian Pharaoh's guard. Joseph became Potiphar's favorite, just as he had been Jacob's favorite, because Joseph had a great work ethic, and since God was with him, every job that Potiphar gave Joseph had an excellent outcome. Joseph's service to Potiphar was impeccable, but along with Potiphar's trust, Joseph also acquired the favor of Potiphar's wife, who demanded that Joseph have an inappropriate sexual relationship with her. When Joseph refused her advances, she accused Joseph of rape, and her husband Potiphar, in his wrath over the situation, had Joseph imprisoned. The man in charge of the prison soon found that the Lord was with Joseph, and that Joseph was as faithful to his work ethic in prison as he was in Potiphar's house. Within a short time, Joseph was the de facto supervisor of the prison. And when Pharaoh jailed two of his personal servants, they came into contact with Joseph. God gave the personal servants dream to foretell their fates, and when they shared their dreams with Joseph, God gave Joseph the ability to correctly interpret their dreams. Now, 2 years later, the Pharaoh had a prophetic dream that disturbed him. He called all of his soothsayers to interpret his dream, but none of them were able to do so. The servant that had come into contact with Joseph remembered his experience with Joseph and recommended to the Pharaoh that he ask Joseph to interpret his dream. The Pharaoh called for Joseph and asked him for the interpretation of the dream, and by the power of God, Joseph interpreted the dream to mean that in the next 14 years, there would be 7 consecutive good years of harvest, followed by 7 years of famine. Joseph recommended that the Pharaoh should use this foreknowledge of the situation to store up food during the good years so that Egypt would be able to survive during the 7 years of famine. The Pharaoh recognized that Joseph had the Spirit of God because of Joseph's ability to interpret his dream. Thus, the Pharaoh put Joseph in charge of the land of Egypt to oversee the preparation for the 7 years of famine. Genesis chapter 41, verse 46 through 49 tells us, Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Now in the 7 plentiful years, the ground brought forth abundantly. So he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt and laid up the food in the cities. He laid up in every city the food of the fields which surrounded them. Joseph gathered very much grain as the sand of the sea until he stopped counting, for it was immeasurable. Now the Pharaoh was the person with the resources to buy up the grain in the years of plenty and to prepare Egypt for the years of famine. While God gave Pharaoh the dream and the resources to act upon the dream, God gave Joseph the interpretation of the dream so that Joseph, as well as the Pharaoh, would be able to prosper from the famine. Joseph was in jail when the Pharaoh received the dream, but God prepared the path and navigated the circumstances so that Joseph and the Pharaoh would meet. Now, Joseph's example teaches us that it is incumbent upon us to always be faithful to God and to maintain a close relationship with Him, regardless of the positive or negative nature of our current circumstances. The one constant in the universe is the constant circumstance of changing conditions. Nothing remains the same. It took a change to get you into your current circumstances, and it will take a change to get you out. But we ought always do what Job told us he was doing a long time ago. Job 14 and 14 tells us, all the days of my appointed time will I wait until my change come. And the only thing worse than not waiting for your change to come is wishing that you had later on. Now Joseph, as the Pharaoh's proxy, was faced with the need to wait faithfully during the 7 good years as he stuck to the plan of God. Now, the plan was to buy up grain during the 7 years of good harvest. Joseph's job was to buy all the grain available at the best price possible for 7 consecutive years. Now, during the first year or two, Joseph's job was pretty easy. Joseph built storehouses around every city in the land of Egypt, and he bought and stored all the excess grain that could be bought. But I envision that a problem began after the 3rd or 4th year of prosperous harvest. Joseph is spending the Pharaoh's money to buy grain because of the plentiful harvest, but there is no market to sell grain. Every grain trader is selling, and Joseph is the only buyer. In my sanctified imagination, I see Joseph in the 5th year telling the Pharaoh that he's going out to buy grain. And I hear the Pharaoh questioning Joseph. He said, my other economic advisors are telling me that I ought not continue to fund your buying grain again this year. They are telling me that too high of a percentage of the resources of the nation of Egypt are tied up in grain futures and storehouses. The harvests are plentiful, and we have more grain than we could ever eat. Not only that, there's no market for grain because everyone has grain. The grain market has not been a profitable market for some years. Isn't there some other commodity in which we could invest that might turn us a more immediate profit? But Joseph reminds the Pharaoh, Brother Pharaoh, it was the wisdom of God to give you that dream and give me the interpretation of that dream 5 years ago. You had the wisdom to commission me to interpret the dream, and I have the fortitude to steadfastly act on the dream God gave you and the plan that God gave me. My settled conviction, based upon my experience, is that we should have faith in God and stick to his plan regardless of how circumstances appear. Joseph continued, God blessed me with a work ethic and a relationship that made me my father's favorite because I prospered him in whatever I did. By doing so, I was sold into slavery. I maintained my work ethic and my relationship with God even when I was a slave. By doing so, I found myself put into prison. I maintained my work ethic and my relationship with God even when I was an inmate. By doing so, I found myself forgotten. But although man forgot me, God never forgot or forsook me, and now I find myself second in command in Egypt, buying up grain to prosper us in the future. Brother Pharaoh, let us continue to follow God's plan, regardless of how it looks to others, because eventually he will bless us. Now, brothers and sisters, the epitome of wisdom is sticking with the plan of God. There is nothing wiser that you can do than to maintain your allegiance to the plan of God. From the beginning, in the garden, Satan, our adversary, has had only one objective, that being to get man to detour from the plan of God. God warns us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 through 10, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To follow God will certainly require the faith and the intestinal fortitude to resist the manipulations of the devil and the influence of the world to pull you off of the path. God has chosen to test your faith by allowing the devil to make his plan appear to be a better plan than the plan of God. While God promises that our allegiance to him will bear fruit eventually, the devil's plan promises to yield results in a shorter period of time. But we cannot allow our desire for immediate gratification to overcome our intelligent allegiance to the plan of God. Disobeying God is never a shortcut to success. The longest way around is the shortest way home. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 through 16 tells us, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The Spirit of God reveals the intelligence of God to us through the Word of God. Just as Joseph bought grain by the revelation of God that there was going to be a famine, we ought rely on the Word of God to consistently regulate our behavior. Just as Joseph may have had to persuade the Pharaoh to stick with the plan, buying grain when all the storehouses were full and then when there was no market to sell grain, we have to persuade ourselves to stick with the plan of God, although it may look as though our personal objectives are not being met. The challenge of Christianity is for us to follow the plan of God, living lives worthy of the Lord. Brothers, listen to the lifestyle instruction with which God challenges us that will prepare us for leadership. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 through 4 and verse 7, the Bible tells us, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Now, brothers, you may not personally desire the position of a bishop, but you should prepare yourself for the call should it come. When Joseph was in slavery and in jail, it never looked as though he would be second in command in Egypt, but he prepared himself for the challenge so that when it came, he could take it up. Now, a Christian man ought to be blameless, meaning literally not able to be held in a criminal sense. There ought to be no valid accusation of wrongdoing that can be made against us. No overt, flagrant sin should mar the life of a Christian man who is an example for his children and the community to follow. The husband of one wife means literally a one-woman man, one who is totally devoted to his wife, meaning singular devotion, affection, and sexual purity in both thought and deed. To violate this is to forfeit blamelessness and no longer be above reproach. The Greek word translated temperate is used here to mean alert, watchful, vigilant, and clear-headed. Christian men ought to prepare themselves to be clear thinkers. A sober-minded man is personally disciplined, knows how to properly order his priorities, and is serious about spiritual matters. The Greek word translated of good behavior means orderly. Christian men ought not leave chaotic lives. If we cannot order our own lives, how can we bring order to the church? The concept of being hospitable comes from a compound Greek word meaning love of strangers. Our lives and our homes ought to be open to those who need our helpful example of spiritual character. Being able to teach is a vital ability for Christian men who have a great responsibility to pass on their wisdom to their children. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 describes the need of a son for the guidance of his father. It says, "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you." Being not given to wine is more than a prohibition against drunkenness. A Christian man ought not have a reputation as a drinker. His judgment ought not be clouded by alcohol, and his lifestyle ought lead others to holiness, not sin. Not violent literally means not a giver of blows, meaning that Christian men ought react to difficult situations with restraint, with calm, and not with aggressive physical violence. To not be greedy for money or covetous means that Christian men ought be motivated by love for God and his people, not money. A man who is in it for the money reveals a heart set on the world, not the things of God. Interestingly, the Bible records that religious teachers that are motivated by money or covetous are false teachers. Titus chapter 1, verse 10 and 11, 13 and 14 tell us, "For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcisions whose mouth must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not, for the sake of dishonest gain. This testimony is true. Therefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth. To be gentle is to be considerate, genial, gracious, quick to acknowledge repentance by others, and one who does not hold a grudge. A Christian man, to be quarrelsome is to be peaceful, reluctant to fight, one who does not promote disunity or disharmony. A Christian man ought to rule his house well. He must choose his mate with care and preside over his wife, his children, and everything connected with his house well. He is called to love his wife so as to avoid the scourge of divorce and to train his children that they might follow in his Christian footsteps. Divorce and or undisciplined children are generally evidence of a lack of a well-managed home, showing that the man has weakness in his spiritual leadership. And a Christian man should have an unimpeachable reputation in the unbelieving community, even though people there may disagree with his moral and theological stance. It is difficult for a man to make a spiritual impact on those who do not respect him. So, brothers, we are called, just as was Joseph, to prepare ourselves for greater service by living in such a way that God can use us. It is wonderful when a man who has had a difficult past decides to turn to the Lord and the Lord uses him to warn others that are wayward, but based upon the scripture and the example of Joseph, it is not necessary to leave God and then find your way back, but you can decide to walk with God your entire way. Now, there's no question that the world will try to entice you to leave the path, but God makes it clear through the story of Joseph that there is a reward for the man who is able to resist the wiles of the devil. And eventually, Joseph's resolve was rewarded. Genesis chapter 41, verse 53 through 57 tells us, "Then the 7 years of plenty which were in the land of Egypt ended, and the 7 years of famine began to come, as Joseph had said. The famine was in all land, but in the land of Egypt there was bread. So when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. Then Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, 'Go to Joseph. Whatever he says to you, do.' The famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians. And the famine became severe in the land of Egypt. So all the countries came to Joseph in Egypt to buy grain, because the famine was severe in all lands. So now all the grain that Joseph bought at low prices suddenly became a hot commodity. Joseph's investment in grain paid off in a manner that not even the Pharaoh himself could imagine. Genesis chapter 47, verse 13 through 26 describes, "Now there was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very severe, so that the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan languished because of the famine. And Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, for the grain which they bought, and Joseph brought the money into the Pharaoh's house. So when the money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came to Joseph and said, 'Give us bread, for why should we die in your presence? For the money has failed.' Then Joseph said, 'Give your livestock, and I will give you bread for your livestock if your money is gone.' So they brought their livestock to Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange for the horses, the flocks, the cattle of the herds, and for the donkeys. Then he fed them with bread in exchange for all their livestock that year. But when that year had ended, they came to him in the next year and said to him, 'We will not hide from my Lord that our money is gone. My Lord also has our herds of livestock. There is nothing left in the sight of my Lord but our bodies and our lands. Why should we die before your eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be servants of Pharaoh. Give us seed that we may live and not die, that the land may not be desolate.' Then Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. For every man of the Egyptians sold his field, because the famine was severe upon them. So the land became Joseph's. As for the people, he moved them into the cities from one end of the borders of Egypt to the other end. Only the land of the priests he did not buy, for the priests had rations allotted to them by Pharaoh, and they ate their rations which the Pharaoh gave them. Therefore they did not sell their lands. Then Joseph said to the people, "Indeed, I have bought you and your land this day for Pharaoh. Look, here is seed for you, and you shall sow the land, and it shall come to pass in the harvest that you shall give one-fifth to Pharaoh. Four-fifths shall be your own, as seed for the field and for your food, for those of your households and for food for your little ones." So they said, "You have saved our lives. Let us find favor in the sight of my Lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants." And Joseph made it a law over the land of Egypt to this day that Pharaoh should have one-fifth, except for the land of the priests only, which did not become Pharaoh's. Joseph bought grain throughout the 7 good years, and once the 7 good years ended, Joseph's stockpile allowed Joseph to acquire all the money, land, cattle, and people in the land of Egypt. Joseph changed the land of Egypt from an agricultural society to an urban society. Because of Joseph's correct interpretation of the Pharaoh's dream and his own ability to obey the plan of God, Joseph became the overseer of the entire economy of Egypt. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, God charged man, then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." So we are to have dominion by following the example of Joseph. We are to cultivate our relationship with God, pray for his wisdom and guidance, and act steadfastly and faithfully on that which God reveals to us through his word. We are to maintain our good character, to be blameless, faithful to our family, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, gentle, not given to wine, not violent, not quarrelsome, not greedy for money or covetous. As we will see in our next lesson, if the Lord wills, God allowed Joseph's extended family, his father, his brothers, and their wives and children, to prosper because of the work that Joseph did. And just as Joseph was the leader that brought his family to earthly prosperity by steadfastly and faithfully following the plan of God, Jesus Christ the Lord is the leader that is bringing those of us that are in his spiritual family to everlasting prosperity by steadfastly and faithfully following the plan of God. Jesus steadfastly and faithfully ministered among the Jews and Gentiles of Palestine for 3.5 years. Jesus steadfastly and faithfully exhibited the power, presence, and practices of the principles of God. Jesus steadfastly and faithfully went into Jerusalem at the appointed time and straightened out the house of God. Jesus steadfastly and faithfully gave himself to the wrath of the Jews and the cruelty of the Romans without speaking the word which would have called 12 legions of angels to his assistance. Jesus gave his cheeks to those who plucked off the hair during his trial in the house of Caiaphas, the high priest, and he gave his back to the smiters in the basement of the fortress Antonia, where they beat him unmercifully to within an inch of his life. Jesus gave himself not because of man's power, but because of God's plan. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 17 and 18, "Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." So Jesus, like Joseph, resolved to steadfastly and faithfully follow the plan of God. The plan of God led Jesus up the old rugged hill of the Via Dolorosa, outside the walls of Jerusalem, to the place of the skull, the sacred spot called Golgotha and Calvary. It was not sacred before Jesus visited, but it was sacred after Jesus completed his blood sacrifice on that spot. The old hymnologist tells us about it as he writes, "The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, will never lose its power." And just as Joseph steadfastly and faithfully followed the plan of God, Jesus also steadfastly and faithfully followed the plan of God. Jesus suffered, bled, and died on the old rugged cross on Calvary's hill. They took Jesus down from the cross and buried him in Joseph's new tomb. Jesus stayed in the tomb all night Friday night, all day Saturday, and all night Saturday night, but early on Sunday morning, Jesus rose physically from the dead, came out of the grave, reconvened a meeting of his disciples, and then a meeting of over 500 men at once. Just as Joseph gained all the wealth of Egypt, Matthew 28:18 records that Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All power is given to me in heaven and in earth." Brothers and sisters, let us resolve to live on the Lord's side. Let us take up the challenge to steadfastly and faithfully follow his plan. Let us prepare ourselves during our pilgrimage on this planet to receive the interpretation of God's plan and to follow his instructions steadfastly and faithfully. And that is our lesson for today. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you for the wisdom that you have imparted to us through your word. And we ask you, Lord, that you would give us a steadfast and faithful determination that we might be able to live our lives according to your word. Let us follow your dictates and your doctrines, and give us insight and wisdom that we might know specifically what it is that you would have us to do during our pilgrimage on this planet. Guide us and direct us that our lives might be lived for your glory, and we'll be careful to give your name the praise throughout ceaseless ages. And now, Lord, we pray for all that are in the house today. Give us traveling mercies as we go down from this place, and bring us back at the appointed time. And now, Lord, we thank you for all these things. We thank you for your goodness, for your wisdom, and for your grace. And most of all, we thank you for your sacrifice on the cross, for rising from the dead on that Sunday morning. Thank you, Lord, in the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Amen and thank God. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you this morning that you have allowed us to reconvene after a week of separation. We ask you, Lord, that we thank you, Lord, that you have given us traveling mercies and brought us back from the South Country. And we thank you that Sister McClure has made it back from the accounting country. And we ask you, Lord, that you would give Brother McClure traveling mercies as he heads for the North Country, that you would give all of us who might be going on vacation or riding around the countryside on this holiday, that you would look out, give us good looking out, that we might see people that might be making the wrong turn, that you keep those who are partaking of alcoholic beverages away from our cars as we drive through the city, that we might not be involved in any accidents caused by them. Now, Lord, we're praying for Rick and for those whom he has asked us to pray for Carlos, and we ask you that you, and for Nikki, we ask that you bless them, Lord, and that you would go with them, these young people, and stand by them as they try to regulate their young lives. Give them wisdom. Give them an uncommon wisdom for their age, that they might be able to make good decisions and not have to fall in the traps and then get out of them. Help them to avoid the traps in the first place. We're praying also for Brother Brian and Brian Mann, and we ask you, Lord, that you would allow his consulting work to increase, give him more business, and let his efforts to grow his business prosper in that as well. Praying for Sister Allen today, Lord, we ask that you bless her wherever in the land she may happen to be, and that you would help her in whatever situation that she's in. We pray for all those who are on her list, and we ask you to meet their needs according to your riches in glory in Christ Jesus. We pray for Brother and Sister Holmes, and we ask you that you would reveal your perfect will to them, and then give them the power to do as you would have them to do in their daily lives. We ask you that you would give them the ability to avoid the wiles of the devil. Give them strength, give them the ability and to live according as you would have them to live. We pray for Veronica Olney and Miranda Rogers. We ask you to bless them as they continue in their recoveries. For Howard, Helen, and Carolyn, Lord, bless that family as well. We pray, Lord, that Brother Lee would be having a great summer as he's off in Pennsylvania. We ask you that you'd allow him to be involved in profitable activities, that he might not only grow financially, but that he might also grow in grace in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for the Winston. We ask that you continue to bless Brother Winston and Sister Winston. And we ask, Lord, that you'd bless their restaurant, let their business grow. We pray also for Sister Powell, who is in an infirm condition. And we ask you, Lord, that you would be her doctor in her sick room, that you would go with her and stand by her as she goes through this trial and tribulation, and bring her back with the glorious testimony of your goodness and your mercy and your grace. And Lord, we pray for all those who are on my wife's list, for Brother Rodriguez and Brother Tyson, for Mother Jones, and we pray for Mother Bursa, Lord, and we also ask you that you continue to bless Ben. We ask you, Lord, that you would bless Paul as he travels up and down the dangerous highway. Give him traveling mercies and give him insightful wisdom that he might impart to those who are his customers. Let his customer base continue to grow. Let his work and his operations increase as well. We pray for Mehdi and Sam down in Atlanta, Lord, and we ask you that you would bless them, and that you would let this time that appears to be a reversal actually be a time that leads them into something that will be joyful. We ask you, Lord, that even as we talked about Joseph today, and we know that he had to go through some negative circumstances, that you give Sam intestinal fortitude as he goes through those things, make him steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Help him, Lord, as he continues on his journey. Also pray for Mother Bard, Lord, we thank you that she's here today. We ask you that you give her traveling mercies as she goes up and down the dangerous highway, visiting children and grandchildren and some great-grandchildren, and we just ask you, Lord, that you would allow her to enjoy these days as she travels up and down the road. We pray for Jakara, and we ask you, Lord, that you'd make her search for employment gainful in the near term, Lord. Help her to find a good fit quickly and let someone who can use her skills come to her attention. And Lord, we pray for Evangelist Betty Carapuni in our television program, for Brother George, for the Conroys, for the Wills, and for the Hudsons. And we ask you that you'd bless Dad and Aunt Naomi down in Chicago, Lord. Meet their needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Be a doctor in that sick room as well, and give Dad the strength that he needs to help take care of his sister as he has taken care of so many. We ask that you bless Marvin, Lord, back in North Carolina. Keep him safe from all hurt, harm, and danger, and allow him the leisure time that he needs to prepare himself for the coming academic year, that he might be able to do a good job as he changes his roles at the university from instructor to administrator. We thank you, Lord, for the continuing progress of Brother McGill. We ask you to continue to bless him and his wife as well, for Sister Wiley, and we pray for Brother Dimitri and Sister Coretta. We ask you that you continue to bless them and their family, those two little girls, Lord. And we ask you as well to bless those whom he has asked us to pray for, that their marriages might be made stronger, that they might continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We're also praying for Brother Jay Northern down in Louisiana as well, as he contemplates a move across the country, that you would give him wisdom and allow his business ventures to get off the ground well. Keep him safe from all hurt, harm, and danger. We pray, Lord, for Brother and Sister Fuller, for those for the store and for those with whom they are concerned. Pray for Sister Morgan and for the Brother and Sister Webb, Lord. We ask you to bless their young marriage and bind them together with cords of love that cannot be broken. We also pray, for Lord, for Dr. Allen. We thank you that he was able to recover from his minor surgery. And we ask you that you would continue to bless him and his organization, that they might be able, Lord, to do the things that they have in mind to do. Help them with their fundraising and with their putting their plans together as they prepare for the political campaign that is to come. Now, Lord, we pray for the television station, for the Forgotten Man Ministry. We ask you that you would bless those who are overseas representing our country in the armed forces, that you give them safety, that you would let the bombs and the bullets cease and subside. Help them to find those who are inciting the violence over there and to put them under arrest in such a way that they might be able to stop that from happening. Lord, we pray for the young men and women in this neighborhood and for the salvation of our family and friends that may not know you in the pardon of their sin. We also pray, Lord, for Sister Moore, whose husband has passed away suddenly. We ask you, Lord, that you would give her a blessing that she might be able to go through this bereavement experience and come out on the other side with a glorious testimony of your goodness and your mercy and your grace. Now, Lord, we pray for all who are in the house. We ask you that you would allow JJ to continue to enjoy his summer as well. We pray for his parents and for the Holmes and for the Winstons and for Brother Paul and for Rick, for Mother Barden. I pray for my wife, who's the love of my life. Continue to bless her as she is an influence on those, as her sphere of influence increases at the place where she goes Monday through Friday. Help her to be a good boss for all those new people that she is in charge of. And we just ask you, Lord, that you would just bless her in all that she does. Now we ask you that you bless the little place that we have here. We thank you for those little things that you have given us that we might try to make your word plain and clear. Bless us as we continue, as we prepare to do something this summer that might help somebody outside. And now, Lord, we thank you for all these things. We thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, and for your grace. Take us home safely and bring us back at the appointed time. And now, Lord, we thank you most of all for your sacrifice on the cross, for rising from the dead on that Sunday morning. Thank you, Lord, in the wonderful name of Jesus we pray. Jesus Christ died on an old rugged cross that we might have the right and a just right to the tree of life. He imparted unto us his Holy Spirit that we might be able to understand the things of God, that we might resolve to live our lives in the way that God would have us to live them, that we might be able to be successful in following God, even as was Joseph, whom we discussed today. And as we go down from this place today, let us remember his sacrifice. Let us avail ourselves of his Spirit, that we might be able to live lives pleasing in his sight, to his honor and to his glory. Let us remember all that he has done for us, and let us remember him now as we eat and drink together. And now may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let every heart say, amen.